Welcome, folks. You are listening to The College Charge. And here to wrap up our exciting series of episodes all about affording college, we are joined today by our fabulous Director of College Counseling, Myra Simpson. Myra, since this is your first time on the podcast, welcome. I would love for you to just tell our audience a bit about your history with college counseling.
Great. Glad to be here. I have worked in college counseling, college admissions for almost over a quarter century. I worked for three institutions, two publics and one private, in college admissions before transitioning to college counseling in 2005. And Shorecrest is my third independent school. I've worked at two schools similarly sized of in terms of pre-K through 12 grade levels and similar size in terms of the student population. But I'm really glad to be here and talk about scholarships. This is certainly a very important topic in the college process when students are and families are thinking about their options and how merit scholarships, how to find scholarship opportunities is a big part of addressing how a student will finance their education.
Absolutely. You are here to talk to us about one of what can be one of the most exciting parts of the college process, and certainly one of the most important, because we're going to be talking about money that institutions or organizations are going to give you that you don't have to pay back. So we're talking about scholarship opportunities. So I guess my first question for you is, when thinking about merit scholarship programs, I guess in general, what do we mean when we talk about merit scholarships?
So when we're talking about merit scholarships, what we're talking about is aid that is awarded on the basis of academic merit. So a student's academic credentials and a college evaluating those and determining that a student based on their academic credentials is eligible for a merit scholarship. Typically merit scholarships are considered gift aid. They do not need to be repaid back. Typically, they are awarded on an annual basis, so a student was awarded a scholarship that can be renewed for up to 4 years of study.
So you mentioned that the GPA and test scores are going to be a factor in this merit aid. So does this mean that a student needs to be at the very top of their class, straight A student, to get merit aid, or is there more of a range?
So this is going to depend upon entirely the institution and the student. But a good rule of thumb for this is when you're trying to figure out, am I going to be a candidate for merit aid at the school I'm considering? A good thing to look at is the incoming class profile of that institution, because if you are a student that is academically much stronger than the incoming class profile of a school, then that would indicate that you're likely to get merit aid at the school. However, if you are looking at your academic profile and comparing it to the profile of an incoming class at a school, and you're pretty similar to the type of student that they would typically enroll, then that might that school may not provide you with an opportunity to be considered for a merit scholarship.
That is really great perspective to have. And now you've mentioned a couple of times that this aid is coming from the institution. So where would I go for the bulk of merit aid that's awarded? Is that awarded by the institutions or outside organizations?
So I would say when you're thinking about merit aid, your first source is going to be the institution itself. And the institutions have different policies. College and universities award merit aid different ways. And I wanted to quickly define kind of how this process would work. So first, you could be in a situation where you're applying to a school that does not have a separate application for merit scholarships. So in a sense, when you apply for admission, you're also being reviewed for admission and for merit scholarship consideration. So there's no separate application. So examples of schools like this that would operate in this fashion would be Florida State, right here in our own state. They don't have separate application for merit scholarships. So when a student applies for admission, and if they're offered admission at that time of when they're offered admission, they would be notified if they're eligible for a merit scholarship.
Okay, that's great. So you mentioned that some schools, though, will have a scholarship application, a separate scholarship application. So for those schools, or even for the schools that automatically consider you for merit aid, what's the process like to apply for that? Are there specific deadlines? Are there separate deadlines than the admissions deadlines? How does that all work?
Sure. So some examples of schools that have separate application processes, and these tend to be what we would term competitive merit scholarship programs. So for example, Morehead Cain, which is a program administered by the University of North Carolina, the Lombardi Stamps program at the University of Florida, also the Jefferson Scholarship at the University of Virginia. Those programs students have to be nominated for and by their schools. And then once they're nominated, they would be required to submit a separate application, separate from their admissions application, in order to apply. Normally with programs like these, you would also have additional components that would come into play. Not only not being nominated is just your first step. Then you have to also go through a review process. And then if you've moved on to the review process, then you would likely be interviewed and then possibly be invited to the campus for a finalist interview. Other schools, if you have, they may not have a separate application, but they may have a specific deadline where an applicant must apply for admission to be considered for merit scholarships. So some examples of universities that have this type of policy would be Ohio State, Indiana University, where, again, no separate applications required, but both schools require an applicant for admission to apply by November 1st to be considered for their merit scholarship programs.
So that's all really good information. And for students that are really factoring highly the amount of scholarship money that they're going to receive as part of their college process, what is your advice in terms of kind of figuring out the different amounts of aid that are awarded and the amounts of aid that they're going to be eligible for? Because these opportunities are really wide ranging and are going to be very institution specific.
So researching early, even well before senior year, is really the key. Making sure, and so if you are early on or thinking that the amount of financial aid that you get from a college university is going to factor into your decision, let's start researching early on, sophomore year, junior year, thinking about the schools that you're considering and seeing where do they have merit scholarship opportunities, and potentially what merit scholarships could you be eligible for?
So with these competitive programs, something that I think about a lot is there may be some students that don't necessarily need the money or are not necessarily factoring that too highly in their college search. But are there any benefits in addition to the financial benefit to a program like Morehead Cain or these competitive scholarships?
So for using the Morehead Cain as an example, when you if you go to the Morehead Cain Foundation, you speak with any Morehead Cain alumni, yes, the scholarship is a big piece, but the whole experience of being a Morehead Cain scholar is really something that the program really highlights. When they talk about the learning opportunities that the students are provided, the travel experiences, the excursions that they do, the things that being a Morehead Cain entails, it's not just, yes, it's the money piece is very nice, but it's really the experiential piece of being a Morehead Cain scholar, which is really, and that's something I've talked to a Morehead Cain, someone who's worked at the Morehead Cain Foundation, that's something that they really highlight. And that's something why these programs are so competitive, because they want to have applicants that are going to truly embrace the experience of being a Morehead Cain scholar.
Right. I think that's a really important point. And it's important to also highlight that yes, you're receiving the scholarship, but typically you're also part of a cohort, mm-hmm. which is a really unique experience. And a lot of times there'll be travel opportunities mm-hmm. within that cohort that really just give kind of a unique layer to your college experience. Now, a lot of what we're talking about is going to be divided between one-time awards and renewable awards. So as I'm thinking about financing an education over 4 years, what are some things that I need to be aware of when I receive a notification that I've been awarded a scholarship? How should I evaluate that?
So you definitely want to read the criteria very carefully to see, is this scholarship a one-time award versus is this subject to annual renewal? So, and also, what are the criteria for renewal? Do you have to maintain a certain GPA to renew this scholarship? Are there other requirements that are in place in order to retain that scholarship for subsequent years? So making sure that whenever you get the letter, the award letter, reading the fine print to know that you are aware of all the criteria.
Right. That's such an important point because it's great to earn that scholarship the first time, but if it's renewable, you definitely want to make sure that you're keeping that and maximizing that benefit. And speaking of maximizing benefits, so we've talked a lot about aid that's distributed by the institutions, but what other opportunities do students have to find scholarships that maybe don't come directly from the institution that they're attending?
So there's a couple of websites that I want to talk about briefly that students, again, early on can start to utilize to help them with researching scholarships. And what we would put this in the category of what we call outside scholarships. So these are there's a couple websites, CapEx, FastWeb, Scholarship America, where students can actually go on to these websites, make an account, and use that to research different scholarship programs. And so when we're thinking about these websites, we're talking about information that's posted about local scholarship programs, regional, national scholarship programs. Over the years, I've had students that have applied for some of these programs. And a lot of the national programs, like for instance, the Coca-Cola Scholars Program, is a very competitive scholarship program. I've had students in my previous schools, some who made it to the semifinalist round, which is even a big deal. And then two students who I worked with during my career that actually were invited to finalists and did get money as a Coca-Cola regional scholar. But we're talking about a very large applicant pool nationwide that you're being picked from to earn these scholarships. And then you have scholarships that are more local. Let's say, for example, the College Fund of Pinellas County. That's a scholarship that's available for high school graduates right here in Pinellas County that you students apply for. So there's a lot of things out there for students to research. So going ahead and starting now, even as if you're a high school freshman, you can start putting in the pieces to get your research, to start seeing where all these opportunities are. So that way, when senior year, when it's time to apply, you already know where to look and where, and hopefully where to apply to.
Definitely. I think that's you made a lot of really great points about those outside scholarships, because at a certain point, right, it mm-hmm. does become kind of a cost benefit analysis of, you know, how many essays are you going to have to write and what's the likelihood that you're going to get these scholarships. But if you have the time and want to submit for those outside scholarships, they can be a great kind of feather in your cap as well to help, make college more accessible and make college more affordable.
And what I'll say is about these outside scholarships, a lot of times the things that are being required in terms of the content, the components of the application, are oftentimes things that the students have already generated in their college process. A lot of these scholarships would ask for a resume. Students have typically worked on that or put something, a resume at some point during their college process. They're asking for letters of recommendation. They would have that. They're asking for essays, and most oftentimes a lot of the essays that they've already done can be used for these scholarship applications. So when we're talking about kind of in terms of amount of work, Yeah, I think I think you could justify maybe writing an additional essay if it's going to give you the chance to win $1,500 or $2,000 for that will could go to your college application.
Definitely,
and college process.
I think that is such an important point because you're right. So really, the way to look at it is you're maximizing the efforts that you've already put in for the college application mm-hmm. process, and now is the really exciting part where you can get additional money for that. So thank you for making that point, because that's definitely a great way to look at that. So before we go, are there any final thoughts that you'd like to impart about the scholarship search or the scholarship process?
So this is, we're in Affording College Week. So we definitely want students and families, no matter what grade level you're at, to maybe thinking about this now. One of the things that we are doing as an office is we're going to be circulating more information about different scholarships that are available, but also take advantage of some of the resources we've talked about today, and starting early and both with the institutional merit scholarships at colleges and also with outside scholarships. You can start in ninth grade and start really thinking about, starting identifying what's out there. So that way, when it's time to apply, that you're in preparation, you've prepared for this and you're ready to pursue these scholarship opportunities.
All right. Well, thank you so much. That was some really great advice and great information. And thank you for joining us on the College Charge.
My pleasure.
And thank you all for listening. As always, if you have any feedback or any questions that you would like to see addressed on a future episode, feel free to reach out to me via email at dburkett@shorecrest.org. Until next time, this has been The College Charge.